Well, from befriending gorillas in the forests of Rwanda to capturing never-before-seen footage of blue whales deep beneath the ocean, Sir David Attenborough has become synonymous with the natural world. Across a career spanning more than 70 years, he's transformed the way we see the planet, not just as a place of wonder, but something fragile and in need of care. Today, the beloved English broadcaster and natural historian is celebrating 100 years on this earth and a lifetime of achievements. Let's have a listen.
After living for nearly 100 years on this planet, I now understand the most important place on Earth is not on land, but at sea.
After an hour, I found on the forest floor the rinds and cores of durian fruit, which I knew was the favourite food of the orangutan.
There is more meaning and mutual understanding in exchanging a glance with a gorilla than any other animal I know.
And as it tilts its 100-ton body downwards, so it can plunge to the black world 500 feet or more below the surface. This is one of the most spectacular, complex, but fragile ecosystems in the world, the Great Barrier Reef. 60 years ago, I dived on the reef for the first time, and ever since, it has held a deep fascination for me.
It's certainly true that I have been extremely fortunate to spend my life travelling the world to film and share the wonders of nature. I've witnessed the natural world at its most fascinating and vibrant. But I've also witnessed startling changes, changes that are today threatening our very civilizations.
Never before have we had such an awareness of what we are doing to the planet. And never before have we had the power to do something about that. For if we save the sea, we save our world.
After a lifetime of filming our planet,
I'm sure that nothing is more important.
Some sounds there of the incredible career of Sir David Attenborough. Sir David is celebrating his 100th birthday today. Well, few people have worked as closely with Sir David over the years as Mike Gunton, who is the creative director of the BBC's Natural History Unit. And Mike was also the executive producer on numerous landmark Attenborough series, including Planet Earth 2, Dynasties and the Green Planet. Mike, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Oh, very nice to be with you.
How do you reflect on the life of Sir David Attenborough as he celebrates his 100th birthday today?
Well, actually, listening to those clips was a lovely trip down memory lane. Obviously, some of those happened long before I started working with him, but you did have a great collection there of the whole range from the beginnings all the way up to the latest thing he's just recently done. And I think those clips said it all. He has seen so much of our world, has told us how wonderful it is, but also has reminding us that despite its wonders, it is a fragile place. And, you know, what more can you ask? I think it's been a remarkable journey for him. And we're all lucky to have been with him.
Listening to some of his narration there as well, Mike, it is a reminder that, you know, he's been heard widely across the planet and the message that he's delivering is vitally important. But often he's heard because that message is delivered in a whisper in great intimacy when he's surrounded by that environment, those creatures, that fauna.
You're absolutely right. Again, if you take that journey you've just made with those clips, even when he was like slightly posh voice back in the 50s, even then he had this fantastic way of communicating with audiences. And as his career's progressed, audiences have come to love him in a way and trust him as almost like their favorite uncle. And he has this fantastic ability to make you feel like you're with him and he's only speaking to you. And that obviously the voice itself is a lovely voice, but there's something about the way he engages with you through the camera, which is a gift that very, very few people have. And he has used it to such effect. You know, it's been fantastic. And great to work with him. When you see him in operation doing it, it is pretty impressive.
I was going to ask you as well. I mean, I'm trying to fashion beautiful questions for you, but also I think the thing that people want to know is, what's he like?
Well, I get that asked a lot. And it's always a delight to be able to say, he is exactly like you think he is. He, you know, there's no skeletons in the cupboard. He's a lovely man. He's actually very funny. I mean, people often say, what's my favourite memories? And generally, it's the, of course, being on location and seeing the animals and filming the animals is why we're there. But the best bits often, the camera box is shut, the cameras are put away, we go back to the campfire or the lodge or whatever, the beers come out and we chat about what we've done today, the day, or things that we've seen in the past. And he's seen so many things and he's experienced so many things, his stories, his anecdotes, the stories of Daring Do. And some of them are pretty hair-raising, actually, but they're hilarious. He's got great comic timing. And you can see that in some of the things he does. You know, some of them are serious, but some of them, he absolutely relishes the humour of nature, because some of the things animals do are quite absurd, really.
How do you choose for these series which species, which moment, which aspect of them to tell a broader story? And how do you get that particular footage? Because there'll be a camera operator who is tasked with seeing this particular species mate or reproduce or die or metamorphose. How do you put all that together?
Well, a lot of it actually is down to the scientists. You know, we have such we owe so much to the scientific community. They are out there studying these animals, exploring them, dedicating their lives to understanding them, and they're so generous with their knowledge. They tell us about it. And of course, when we start one of these projects, you could more or less film anything, but you have a theme that you want to follow, and you have particular types of animals you think would be best to tell those stories. And so you kind of spread the word out in the scientific community, and the stories come out and they return, and you look through and think, well, that's possible to do that one, that would be, you know, it's quite tricky to do that one. Oh, that's really hard. Or actually, nobody's seen that before, let's go and do that. You know, those are the sorts of decisions you make. Often, actually, has David seen it before? Because that's quite a high bar, because he's seen a lot of things. So if you can say, no, he doesn't know that story and he's never seen that animal, that probably gets in the script.
What's the role of music sometimes, and how on earth do you choose a soundtrack for when two sea creatures, minute sea creatures, might be courting or something like that?
Well, I think there's an important thing, slight difference, that the soundtrack or the soundscape of a show is very important. A lot of that is and should be the natural sounds that the animals make and the natural sounds of the environment. But, you know, these are educational, they're factual, but they're also entertainment. And there's an element of that, you know, the music brings, it's a very direct way of enforcing or enhancing the drama. And a lot of what happens in nature is incredibly naturally dramatic. But with the music, you can help an audience experience that drama. And part of what we try and do is to try and give the audience the most, a sort of distilled version of the experience we had when we were on location. Sometimes that can be, we're scared to death, sometimes we're awed, sometimes we're laughing, sometimes we're just thinking it's beautiful. And the music can really help, especially when you combine that with the beautiful sounds of nature.
How much is grace a part of who Sir David Attenborough is?
Grace? What do you mean? Sorry, I didn't understand.
Being gracious,
that. Sorry?
In the way that he's very
gracious. Oh,
gracious.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. No, I mean he's a product of his time in some ways, but he's an absolute gentleman, and politeness and behaving properly is a very important part of that. But it's also about respect, and I think he has a huge respect for the audience. And one of the things I've learned from him is, apart from being to be constantly curious, is that do not underestimate the audience. The audience absolutely have a real appetite to learn, to be engaged, to be enthralled. You know, don't dumb down. They want to be challenged. They want to be wowed. And he often says, you know, if you believe this is, if you feel it's fascinating, if you believe it's wonderful, if you believe it's important, they will too have that confidence. And that is part of that graciousness, I think you're referring to. It's a very powerful tool.
We've only got 30 seconds to go. How much of an honour has it been for you working with David?
I can't believe my luck, actually. You know, I when I started working with him, I he was supposedly going to make his last series. I'd started in my 20s, and the series I was going to work on, I wanted to work on it because he said, I'm going to stop. That was in 1987. Here we are, what is it, 40 years later? And thankfully, he has kept going, and it has been the joy of my... And many others, I mean, not by no means, many others have done the same, has had the same pleasure as I have. To work with him has been an absolute honour, pleasure and joy.
Mike, it's been a delight to have you on this morning. Best wishes to Sir David Attenborough celebrating 100 years. Thank you very much.
I'm seeing him tonight. I'll pass that on. Thank you very much.